Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Wendy Papazan. Today, we're going to be completing our 7-part series on leadership. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you're just tuning in, make sure you go back and listen to the 6 episodes preceding this because they're pretty juicy. Today, we're going to talk about possibly the most important thing about leadership, even though we saved it for last, and that is culture. Culture is the core of your business. We've all seen it. We all understand what a toxic work culture is. We've also seen the opposite, which is an amazing work culture. So today we're going to learn about culture and how to create a good culture at work. So this topic is so important. We've actually recorded 3 other episodes on culture. And if you're curious about this topic, please feel free to go back and listen to those episodes. We've got episode 33, which is Culture is the Key to Happier, Healthier Team Members. Episode 34, I think that was a 2-part series. Mm-hmm. Culture, Why It Matters and How to Improve It. And episode 54, How to Scale Your Culture as Your Company Grows. So yeah. Well, so why don't we kick it off? Why is culture so important, guys?
Yeah, I read something recently that said that all studies are showing that there's sort of an income cap of what matters. And then after that, mm-hmm. it's 100% about the culture and the environment that someone works in. Yeah. I believe they said it was 75,000. After 75,000, yes. They're finding that most employees, once they meet that income sort of requirement, they then, the main focus for them is on their environment and culture. And I think it's arguably by far the most important.
So, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you're spending the majority of your day with the people that you work with and in mm-hmm. that environment. So you want it to be a pleasant one.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that I think about with this too is a lot of our cultures have changed over the last 2.5 years. And so we've been putting a lot of thought into this around our like business identity, around the culture of our organization and what our team members and clients and workforce want now versus what they expected 2.5 years ago. And we're finding that we're having to make a lot of shifts and changes. Which is why I love that we talk about culture multiple times in our podcast, because I think, you know, what we thought the norms were 2.5 years ago look very different today. So it's kind of cool that we can continue to grow and, like the episode Sarah wrote, scale our culture as our organization grows and morphs too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, why is culture important? Well, first of all, it's everything that you guys just said. It's crucial to retention. Mm-hmm. Right. It really matters to employees. And honestly, it matters more than ever. You know, Gen Z considers it, you know, one of their top things they're looking for in a job. And actually, your culture determines how your people act, right? Mm-hmm. Culture, what is tolerated is your culture.
Yep.
Right. I'm sure we all have a great story around that, you know, what we tolerated.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm. yep.
Yeah.
I had an interesting thing happen around the term culture that I feel like I need to share, especially since we're using that word a lot, obviously, this episode. So our theme for this year is culture always wins. And we were doing a lunch and learn. And we had, the room was about 20 agents that were just wanting to find out information about our team. And about half of the presentations about our culture, like who we are, we hire to it, right? And so I kept saying the word culture. Someone comes up to me at the end and goes, "So what culture are you referring to?" Mm. And I was like, "What?" And they said, and so they thought when we were saying culture, we were meaning like a demographic of people versus. So when we're talking culture, just to clarify, because I mean, I think that it can be a confusing term. I never thought about it like that. But culture, when we're talking about culture, I view it as like the heart. Like who are you? How would your organization be described? Who are you? How do people feel when they're part of your world? What are your standards around values, things like that, which we're going to dive into. But that's really what we're talking about here is the heart of your organization. And what Wendy is saying so brilliantly is that Gen Z is saying that that's their most important thing to them. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
more yeah. than results or their main focus is on liking who they work with in terms of being connected to who they work with and agreeing with them. So I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
'Cause I was shocked.
You. Yeah. Thank you for, clarifying that. Yeah. And to be clear, everyone's got a culture.
Yes.
You know, even true. If you don't have culture, that's a culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So it's definitely important because you want the right fit, you want the right people showing up. And then it's also important, because culture shows your clients who you really are. Right.
Yep.
Do they want to get into business with you? Right. It's really important to understand and share your culture. That's why sometimes social media is so important, you know, for you to showcase who you are and what you're all about. And I love both of you guys because part of your culture is giving back. And, you know, I'm always seeing you doing great stuff on social because that's just great third-party validation for any customers that are coming your way. They want to know who they're getting into business with. Think about Zappos, you know, what a strong, strong, amazing culture, right?
Yep.
It doesn't, and you know, I think sometimes we think we have to be a certain way, like we have to be highly aggressive or have an accountability culture or this or that. And the reality is like, is your business, right? You can do you.
Yeah.
I mean, Zappos is a weird culture, you know, that's part of what makes it great. But when people study it, it's definitely out there, right? So you do you.
Yep. And I think, you know, you can't be all things to all people, right? And so I think a lot of times understanding, which leads us into the first step, right, in terms of culture, is figuring out your values first, right? So what are your values and what do you want the values of your organization to be? And there's a lot of different, you know, resources for that. I know when I look at like Wendy's organization, you constantly see fun, like meaning because it reflects Wendy. Wendy is fun, right? When COVID first hit a couple of years ago, you know, like
do you guys know? Okay, so this is a total tangent, but I actually bought that URL. So I bought wendyis.fun. So I own that.
Of course you did.
You can actually go to wendyis.fun right now. And it's my website.
What?
Yeah.
Of course.
The things I find out during reporting is amazing. I love that. She really is fun though.
You guys are Googling it. I
know. she's fun and it's reflective of her and entire organization reflects that. Right. And I think, you know, one of my values is competitiveness. We value that in a good way. So like when COVID hit, this gives you a difference in leadership, right? Like we were competing on contacts and all in a Zoom together and like on the phone and Wendy's doing GIF wars and making like the point is that
we did that stuff too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you only do that. Just to be clear, you remind me constantly, oh, I need to be fun today.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
So I appreciate it. That's what I'm semi-jealous. some good resources is to get a values deck. I know the One Thing organization is what my husband and I used. Their values deck is what I used to look over the values to talk through with him what our personal values were. And so you can look there, but honestly, don't rush this either. Meaning it's not something you can 30 minutes. Okay. Yes. These are the values that I want my organization to be like the foundation of. This takes white space, research organizations that you respect and look up to that you are naturally attracted to, read up on what their values are. But really take time. To develop this, because that is, as you talk about them, that is who you're going to attract many times are those that match that.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, that's so smart. And I think it's sometimes, you know, if you're a pretty small organization, it's going to take years, honestly, of thinking about it and writing it down and tweaking it and changing your mind. And so I think that's really smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I think even large organizations consistently change and update their values. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, nothing is set it and forget it in business. It's just not. Yeah. It's just not. Yep. It's all so dynamic. Not.
Yeah. And you're trying it on. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about before is honestly the best way to figure out your values is to figure out what your fireable offenses are too. Because if you make a list of the things that somebody could get fired over, chances are the extreme opposite of those when they show up in a big way are experiencing your core values too. Mm-hmm. So that's one way when we first started doing it, we've refined and fine tuned since then, but that was kind of a good starting point for us as well to be like, what's the absolute no? Because chances are the opposite of that is the absolute yes for us. You know, and then when you're,
okay, I don't want to laugh. I'm going off on another tangent. Okay. But I sent you guys this by chat last night, but, I had, interviewed Instagram star, right? She had I'm not going to say her name, but she had like 2 million.
Yeah. A lot of followers. And you were like interested in her for a little while.
I thought she was lovely. Yeah. I actually really liked her, even though she was, it was like a, what is it? Members only kind of Instagram star. But anyway, she just got arraigned on murder charges of murdering her husband. So like your culture matters because who you let in is super important. I'm like, wow, I dodged a bullet because actually another team in my market center hired her. Yeah.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, I know. I sent it to them last night. I was like, did you guys see this? Yeah. She's not with, she's not an agent.
She's she's not an agent anymore. She's long.
She's been out of that, but yeah, she had been hired by this other team. So yeah, it's really important.
Yeah.
You let in.
Yeah. But,
is it inappropriate for me to ask like what, why you didn't hire her? Like, was it something values related?
Yeah, it was something values related. Well, she's an Instagram model. And you know, she's just in bikinis and stuff. And I just was like, I don't think she's a cultural fit. That is literally what I, that was literally the, cause I actually really liked her.
Yeah, personality wise.
I was like, there's a lot of upside. I mean, she's got a huge following on Instagram. But I was like, I just don't think she's a cultural fit. And not just because of the bikinis, but like for other things, like just some of her personality, but just wasn't a cultural fit. And that was really the main reason. I thought she was a go-getter. I, you know, she had some of our other values, but I mean, at the end of the day, I was like, no, it's just a hard no because she's not a match. Because for us, that's a deal killer.
Yeah.
They could be the most amazing person in the world, the most talented person, this and that. But if they don't, if they're not a match for the color culture, it's a hard no. Yeah. It's, I've learned my lesson there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, you pay for it one way or the other. You either pay for it in the interview process and defining it up front and disappointing someone then, or you pay for it big time when it's impacted your company. And I think we've all gone through experiences where that has happened too, where the culture fit on the back end becomes a bigger pain than just sticking to, you know, your gut or your hiring process that weeds that out at the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. The minute someone associates with your organization, it's like what they do and what they say and what they are to the community out in the community is a direct reflection on you.
Yeah.
Like direct reflection. And so that's why the first step is knowing your personal values and taking time to figure that out because it's so, so important. Because that will be reflective of the entire organization and hiring and firing around that is also key in that as well.
Well, and it also makes sense because then you create this cohesive unit of people who sort of feel and think and act the same way that you do or what's important to you. So then everybody comes to work and they feel sort of like, I belong here, you know?
Yeah.
And we've all had that instance where, you know, you've made a hiring mistake. Someone comes in and they're like, I just don't, this is not my place. I don't feel right. I don't belong here. And that's because they're not a cultural match.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we've had 4-hour Tommy. So yeah, literally they walked in and we're like, we are not a cultural match. And I was like, oh, this is why you should meet more of our people. That was
4-hour Tommy was, that was
no, he walked in and I had only been the only one interviewing him. I hadn't implemented the group interview. And so he hadn't met anybody else. And so he felt like we were a match, but ultimately like was not a match for our organization, for our culture. It was our cultural fit.
4-hour Tommy, if you're out there, will you reach out to me, please?
Wendy has so many questions.
He's probably famous. He's probably doing something great.
No, he's still working in an organization that's like the polar opposite of our organization, which is great. Okay. And he's happy there. He's totally happy there. And it's awesome.
Well, Sarah, didn't you have some people making like basically like dirty movies in your office or something like that?
Wendy.
I mean, we've all been there. Oh, yeah.
I had a former business partner we
obviously
got out of business with.
Not a cultural match for you.
Was embezzling.
No,
yeah.
No,
I mean,
you had someone embezzling?
Remember, I had a business partner in another business that we got out of business with, and afterwards.
Oh, I didn't realize she embezzled from you as well.
Oh, yeah.
She was just a horrible person.
That on top of other things. She embezzled, lost her real estate license for life, banned from the Texas Real Estate Commission, all sorts of things.
Crazy.
But yeah, not a match.
Crazy.
But I saw the outsides and I compared those to the insides. And that's, I think, what we're talking about here is like, you might see something like 2 million Instagram followers or someone who's really hard driving or someone who loves video and,
has a way with video.
Is an amazing cinematographer.
Video and using office supplies, including office supplies. It was so bad.
Oh my God.
Leadership is not for the faint of heart. And so this goes right into
success,
like.
Failure way to success, everyone. Failure way to success.
This is so humbling, but also hilarious. So the next part of that then, right, is once you define your core values, it's then creating your company values and your mission. Yes. And I'll tell you, like, our mission statement for our team was something that took us a really long time to come up with. I knew what our values were. Like, we look for fast-paced, client-based, with a servant heart that love to have fun and want to grow. Like, I know that. I know what we're looking for there. But when it came to the actual mission statement for us, it took us 16 years to figure that out. It was not an easy process. And like for us, it finally dawned on me we want to help our clients and our team members and the people that are in our lives become happier, healthier, and wealthier because we choose to be together. And once that clicked for us, it made everything so much easier. And so if any of you are out there struggling with what your mission statement is, and maybe Wendy and Sarah, y'all can, talk about those as well. It all of a sudden made a difference. And like, I can't tell you how exciting it is. We have two of our team members like making offers on their first homes right now and like building their own wealth, which is so cool because we are living out the mission, and we're seeing our clients like net worth rising. We're doing, advising for them in all these different ways, and doing it while we're getting healthier and happier. And it's really fun. So, whatever yours are, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear both of yours too. But once you feel that like kind of like connection to it, it makes such a big difference. Because then you can take that entire, tie your mission to a larger vision or a larger contribution that you can make into society. And Sarah and Wendy, I'll let y'all jump into yours too.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
Well, we actually have a whole episode on this as well. Yeah. I am frantically trying to find the number to that to let our listeners
know. It's around creating your mission and vision. Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes for you.
We'll put it in the show notes for you. But it's so important to focus on that, and it should be aligned with your values, mm-hmm. right? They go together. Mm-hmm. For
that
us,
would
it's
be
about
episode
getting
10.
Okay. Of course, Wendy found it first. Oh. I was over here scrolling.
Make that list. Right?
Oh,
that list of all the podcasts.
That's right.
I need to
search it.
I need to bookmark that.
It's really good.
Yeah. Our if we can have our, now our assistant doesn't have to put that in the show notes. So that's the good news.
Yeah, I know. Thank God.
Our podcast assistant.
Our magical assistant that Keller Williams has promised us 2 years ago. I mean, to be fair, we do have incredible production assistants.
We do. Our editing team. Yeah. And our producer are awesome.
Yep. Yep.
We love you guys.
For sure. Yes. Yep. So you want to focus on your values and then your mission and then make ensuring that they match, mm-hmm. right? So Wendy already mentioned this, but ours ties back to giving back, mm-hmm. right? And so that's been Debbie and I's heart from the very beginning. And a big focus on that is my life mission of reverse tithing, which is living off of 10% of my income and giving away 90%. It will probably take my whole life to get there.
I get chills every time I hear
love that. Yeah, so I love great. It.
And so that ties into my organization, right? Mm-hmm. And so like when we look at new businesses opening, when we look at new partnerships coming together, one of my initial conversations is just being very transparent. Yeah. You know, Debbie and I, give away 10% of our income. And although we don't force that mm-hmm. upon our partners, we do let them know that that is why we're doing what we're doing, and making sure that they have alignment mm-hmm. in that. And there's been multiple conversations where people have said, you know, that's not for me. That's okay.
Yeah. Nobody has to tithe. Nobody has to give their money away.
Exactly.
That's totally fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, no judgment at all. What the focus here is making sure that you're clear about who you are and clear about then what your mission is mm-hmm. as an organization, and being, you got to be like confident in it and okay sharing mm-hmm. it. And you will attract the right
Absolutely.
People because
that's
of it.
Right.
That match.
Yes, that's
that
right.
Match.
Yeah. Well, and it's really that authenticity actually that will attract yeah. people to you. I think sometimes when we start yes. out, we kind of have almost like a mask on. You know, we dress.
Well,
yes.
I
feel like we
got to dress a certain out. Way. Yeah, you're trying out different personalities, different business personas.
And that's how it is too when you're in your 20s, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like as you grow and mature, you feel more comfortable in your own skin and you can get more confident and just be authentic, which is probably one of our values here on Empire Building Podcast.
Yeah.
So then once you've got your values and then you've created your personal values and then your company values, you want to hire people who are a good cultural fit. And an easy way to do this is have an appropriate job description. This sounds super basic, but when you're talking about your company, you probably want to mention some aspects of your values that are important to the job so that you get someone who shows up who at least is already somewhat in alignment with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people listening, that's probably a big aha for them,
mm-hmm.
right? It's probably
so
a really big aha.
Mm-hmm. We put that in our, when we check references as well, we pick a core value that we're curious about and ask that as a question too when we're checking references to see how that has shown up in other areas. Like we look for somebody who's self-motivated. Can you think of a time when that person, you know, didn't know something and had to figure it out on their own and took the initiative to do that? Or right, you look at someone that has a servant heart. Can you think of a time where they showed up serving others or helping others? So it's really nice to hear that validation from a reference to on a yay or a nay on those core values on how that would contribute to your culture.
Absolutely. Our first interview in our hiring process, all of the questions we have each question tied to one of our values. So one of our values is being results oriented, right? So the interview question is, tell me about your proudest achievement, right? In terms of wanting to see what have they achieved in terms of results, mm-hmm. and digging into that. I love what you said, Say, and we do that as well. We typically during the hiring process, there might be something that you have questions about more. And there have been times where we have been questioning mm-hmm. one of the values, whether or not they're a match. And mm-hmm. references, like Say said, is one of the most perfect ways to really find out, to have a piece mm-hmm. one way mm-hmm. or the other. Asking them that same question, if for example, you were questioning that, would be powerful mm-hmm. as well. The key here is you've got to hire around the yep. culture. And so it's so, so key, in protecting it and having a culture that wins.
And, you know, I don't know that you need to designate someone to be like the keeper of culture. Everyone should be the keeper of culture. But I think about, you know, Chris on my team, mm-hmm. and he's our strongest team member. And he is a very staunch defender of our culture. And so mm-hmm. when we're interviewing people, he's the one who's always asking the really hard questions, like, are they going to be fit? Are they going to be a match? So, you know, who is that person mm-hmm. in your organization that's going to be like that, that's designated the culture keeper, right? Should be everybody, but who is that person who's got that job?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the person willing to ask the tough questions as well. Like you mm-hmm. said, Wendy, like we've got two of those on our team for sure that they're willing to sit and ask the really hard questions that nobody wants to ask, to defend yeah. the culture.
Love it.
And that it gets harder as your organization mm-hmm. grows. This topic gets harder. And we talked about that on, mm-hmm. scaling culture mm-hmm. episode. And it's, you know, it then moves to almost like having a culture keeper per department, yeah. right? Or per location yeah. or to make sure. So my mom has sort of spearheaded that in our organization. And so she has cultural meetings with each location lead and is really taking the lead on that, which has been a great way for us to scale it and also for us to keep a pulse, for her and I to keep a pulse on what's going on in sort of each department and each location, which is
That's
awesome.
Very cool.
Now, the last, but honestly, this could have been first for sure, is to live out mm-hmm. your values, right? To live your culture. You aren't what you say. You are what you do, mm-hmm. right? To those that see you, and you've got to live your culture and have confidence in it. Like I think a good example of that for me is, you know, we do have a culture of working mm-hmm. hard, and I love to work. I've always loved to work. I started working as soon as I was legally able. Well, actually, before I was legally able to, I was making yeah. calls for my mom at 14. But I've always loved to work, right?
And whenever you say that, I always think about like, what was little 14-year-old Sarah like? I would love to have known you then.
I wasn't scared of making calls. I wanted to do it by myself, yeah. but I wasn't. I enjoyed Amazing. It actually. So, yeah. And did I tell you guys I got like $15 and I got her like 3 sales?
She gave you $15, like $5 a call or $5 a conversion yeah. or something like that.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that ROI on that. But, you know, but when, like for a few years, like I actually wouldn't say, like I wouldn't say that mm-hmm. that we work hard or I work hard, because I almost shied away from mm-hmm. it, like as if it was a bad thing. And probably the last year, I've had a lot of growth in this personally, where I've just been like, you know what, I'm going to yeah. own it. I'm going to own who we are. I'm going to own that we believe in counterbalance, which that means at times we're really working hard, and that times we're playing yeah. really hard too. And just leaning into it versus being self-conscious about it. And so live your culture out, have confidence in it. And remember that everything's, you know, reflective of you as the leader. And so it has to start with you mm-hmm. ultimately.
Love that. Yeah. So you can do lots of things depending on what your culture is. You know, we do Friday Fun Day. We have Net Worth Club. It's really important for me to help everybody on our team learn about passive income and track their net worth. So we started a club around it that everybody's mm-hmm. welcome to join. We also work hard, but we also mm-hmm. believe in work-life balance. And we had adopted a position on our team where we had unlimited vacation.
Yep.
And it turned out that during COVID, nobody was taking vacation.
And I did some
research, and it turns out that the unlimited vacation policy is actually causes people to take less vacation
yeah.
because it's not tracked, right? Because it's not measured. And mm-hmm. And so now we have a situation where everybody is required once a quarter to take a week off, and once a month people get a half day off, because so many people were burnt out, you know.
Yep.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's good.
Well, and I think too, like coming out of COVID with like all of our cultures intact and growing and evolving, it's been really important. Like we just spent, I just spent 20 hours over the last 2 weeks with each of our team members revisiting like who we are as a company, where we are, that we expect them to plan their time off, what we need to be looking for planning like proactively into 2023, what this market means, is our market's changing. And culture, I think, shows up in a lot of those conversations for the care that you bring, the servant heart that you bring, the time off that you expect them to take, that their family matters too. And I know both of you feel that way in your organizations as well. And yes, we work really hard, but at the end of the day, we have to be able to enjoy the fruit of our labor as well.
Oh, hello, yep. Hatari.
he heard a child walking by. Oh, we're recording from home today.
Hatari has ruined more podcasts, I think, than
I know. He really
else.
Has. He's he's definitely our troll. If there is a troll, Hatari is the troll.
He's our fifth co-host. Yeah,
good old.
Speaking
Hatari.
Of COVID,
that was like an amen, mom. That was actually an amen, mommy.
Preach.
I agree with you.
100%. Well, guys, today's been great. We talked about the why of culture, why it's important. We talked about figuring out your values first and spending some time to do that. It's not something that you're going to do in 30 minutes, like Sarah said. And then once you've got that, that becomes the foundation for your company's values. Once you've got your company's values, you're going to hire to those values. And then you're going to live out your culture, which is what are the things that you're doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis that showcase your culture. And if you do all of those things, you're probably still going to make some mistakes about hiring and you're not going to do it perfectly. But remember, we're all here on a journey. And if you can spend some time at least thinking about your culture and how and where you want it to go, you're going to be way better off than probably, you know, half of the companies out there. So this is a big part of living your big life, guys. So go out there and live your big life, but don't forget to create a big business on the way. Bye now.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.